My name is Nellie Madsen, and I am a student at the University of Minnesota. Currently, I'm studying musicology, and I hope to become a music therapist.
So why is it that you hope to become a music therapist?
Well, I first saw music therapy done through my grandpa when I worked at an assisted living home. They had group musicians come in and play music to the elderly, and it kind of helped them through their daily life and activities.
As Madsen explains her personal connection to the field of music therapy, it's hard to think of music being therapeutic beyond just listening or playing a song as a release of emotions. Music therapy can go much further than that. Music therapy can support good mental health, and it can even help with physical issues a patient may be having. The song you've been hearing in the background is by music therapist Margie Labella. It's called The Monkey Song. Sounds like a fun song for kids, right? Well, yes, it may be fun for kids to listen to, but it's actually used for speech therapy for children with autism. Madsen's story of her grandpa receiving music therapy at the nursing home she worked for is a good example of the variety of issues music therapy can address. While LaBelle's monkey song may not be used on someone like Madsen's grandpa, it is addressing similar issues music therapy has helped him with.
And he had Parkinson's. It was good for him to control his gait and also his brain functions.
Gait, what's that?
Gait is your walking. People that have Parkinson's shuffle a lot. They can't take very big steps, and when they turn around, it's kind of like a whole body motion. So it kind of evens out the walking.
Okay, so that's all through the power of music that's able to do that?
Right, yeah.
And you said his mental functions. What is that all about?
People with Parkinson's have trouble communicating. Their speech is very slurred, very slow. It's hard to understand kind of what they're getting at, and their memories also kind of interlapse. So things that they talk about might not be very current. They might be talking about going somewhere that they went in the past as a child.
Madsen experienced her grandpa's illness firsthand as both a family member and an employee of the nursing home he lived at. Music therapy served both physical and mental functions in his case. But there are still more areas of people's lives it can touch.
There's also more emotional sides of music therapy. Paul Nordoff and Clive Robbins started a form of music therapy called Nordoff-Robbins Music Therapy.
This is Krista Sorensen. She's a board-certified music therapist working in the Twin Cities area. What she is describing is an innovative approach in music therapy that was developed in the late 50s in New York. Also known as creative music therapy, Nordoff-Robbins therapy is meant to work with disabled children that were thought to be unreachable at that time.
You know, people who couldn't speak and they would just scream. And what they found was that as they used a bunch of really expansive piano music in different keys and cymbals and drums, and they're very, very adept musicians. If a child is screaming, they can sing at a key that just encompasses their screaming until they reach a place where they can move beyond it. And so there's physical, emotional, spiritual at the end of life. Lots of times in hospice care, music therapy can be used to help people transition to their next place, help the family grieve, and sometimes when there's no words, music can fill the gap.
Music therapy is not a generalized practice and can reach many different populations for some very specific issues one may be having. A session can take many forms, from listening to a music therapist play music for you, or the therapist may adapt their playing to a child's behavior. And even banging on a piano can be therapeutic for some clients.
Generally, I like to use music for people to have an avenue to express themselves and to express themselves in parameters which is appropriate, you know, whether that's drumming or having a specified time to really bang on the piano, but having parameters within that. I think boundaries are really key.
The music therapy field has so many uses and options for clients, but where does this leave a student like Madsen trying to get into the field?
What is the process you have to go through in school to become a music therapist?
You can either do what I'm doing, which is through musicology, which is just the study of music, or you can just go straight through music therapy.
After a student completes their undergrad, they are then required to get their master's degree, and then after, complete their board certification to start working. Before this process is over, Madsen will need to decide what part of the field she'll specialize in.
What areas of music therapy are you looking to get into?
I'm primarily interested in working in the neonatal intensive care unit. I'm also interested in working with kids that have autism.
Madsen hopes to provide care for others through her music. She feels no matter what part of the field she specializes in, being there for others will be satisfying.
Probably my favorite part about music therapy is that even though music is involved, it doesn't have a performance aspect. It isn't, oh, it's about me. You're there to help someone else develop.
Music is much more than putting on your headphones to block out the world, curb your enthusiasm, or relieve some anger. Its therapeutic uses expand past your headphones and car speakers, and is the solution for many people. Also, fulfilling for the therapist practicing. For Culture Q, I'm Aaron Bolton.